Just because you're at church doesn't mean we're Christians. I like that. All right, Proverbs chapter number 3. And I'm going to tie that in just a few minutes. We're going to use that. But what a great illustration. Things that make you go, Proverbs chapter number 3. I'm going to read 2 verses from chapter 3. And then I'm going to share with you some things from chapters 3 and 4 tonight. But I want to begin with reading a passage that you're familiar with. Proverbs chapter number 3, verse number 5 and 6. Verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." Some of you have been to McAllen, Texas, especially on our trips that we've made for our mission trips. And maybe it's been a long time since you've been there for some of you, but for others it's maybe been real recently. And I had the privilege of living there in Kingsway, and then after that, before I moved back home in 80, whenever it was, and have gone through McAllen so many, many times. And I love the way McAllen is laid out. McAllen is laid out, the founding fathers were very wise, and it's laid out in a perfect grid. There are streets that go east and west, and there are streets that go north and south. And all the streets that go north and south are numbered, beginning at First Street, all the way through whatever it ends on the other end. I think it's 36th or 37th Street. And all the streets that go east and west, beginning at the middle, what used to be the middle street of town with railroad tracks, from the railroad tracks down are alphabetical names of street of cities. So you've got going down, Austin, Boston, Chicago, Dallas, okay? And then from there up, you've got trees or flowers. And so they, I don't know what A was, but okay, ash, birch, whatever C is, and, okay, cedar, dogwood, elm, fir, gumwood, hackberry. Okay, so it's real easy to know in McAllen wherever you are. If you tell somebody, well, you need to go to 1503 Dallas Street, you know it's going to be four streets down from the railroad tracks between 15th and 16th Street. I mean, it's like instantly, it's kind of like this grid. You know where everything's at. So their founding fathers had a lot of thought that went into how they planned the street. Now, in contrast, Alexandria and Pineville sometimes seems like it was an old drunk guy on an old drunk horse laying out the streets, because sometimes you just can't get here from there. Or get there from here. Doesn't it seem that way? I mean, I know the very downtowns are laid out in squares, but man, once you get out past a little bit of it, you know, you look at the map, and we just got squiggly lines all over the place, and you'll have roads that go way off, and so it's just kind of interesting that there is a distinction in these. And the reason I got to thinking about this is that this scripture says in verse number 6. That if we trust in the Lord, that if we don't lean on our understanding, if we will acknowledge Him, it says He will give us straight paths. He will make our lives straight. He will give us a life that's plotted out in a way that makes sense. There will be order to our life. There will be direction in our life. The New Living Translation of chapter 4, verse 11 says this way, "I will teach you wisdom's ways and lead you in straight paths." What I want to talk to you tonight is about wisdom's straight paths. Because there are some things that 3 and 4 teach us of Proverbs about what wisdom's straight paths bring to our life. And you may be aware of the reading pattern where you read whatever chapter of Proverbs that day of the month is. Well, today is the third day of the month, and I read Proverbs chapter 3, and I shared that this morning at our chapel service, and I was drawn back to this again. So I want to show you two things that I believe that wisdom's straight paths produce or bring about in our life. And we're going to talk about the first one for half the service, and we'll talk about the second one for the other half the service. Wow. The third point is up to you. All right, so will you pray with me real quickly? Heavenly Father, we thank You for teaching us. You are our teacher, and we desire to learn. So tonight, Father, open the ears of our hearts that we might hear. Open the eyes of our hearts that we might see. Open our understanding that we might perceive what you have for us. Instruct us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. There are two things that I believe that straight paths bring to our lives, provide for us. And the first one is simply direction. When you have straight paths, your life's direction is so much more easily defined. Like in McAllen, Texas, where you have all that grid, those straight paths, it's easy to get direction. It's easy to know where you're going, unlike where we are nowadays, it seems like. I can remember driving around some roads around here, and sometimes you'll get on the road. Somebody today was telling me about how they drove down Wildwood, went to the end of it, and went left, and they saw some new houses they'd never, ever seen before. So they turned down that road, and lo and behold, next thing they know, they were back on Sioux Drive again. They're like, whoa, what is this? I remember the first time I went through Wood Lake Subdivision. Anybody ever heard of Wood Lake Subdivision? It's on the other side of Village Green. Did you know that there's a whole subdivision about the size of Village Green that's connected to Village Green? I didn't know that. I got lost up in there. It's huge. It's humongous. And it's laid out like this. I mean, it's just kind of all over the place. Ouch. Well, God's got some paths for us that are straight, that are not conflicting, that are not all mixed up and are not full of confusion. Matthew chapter 7, holding your place in Proverbs 3, because we will be back here. But in Matthew 7, Jesus makes a distinction about some paths that are available to everyone. Matthew chapter number 7, if you'll look with me at verse number 13, he says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many, many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it." I want you to know this, that there's a broad way and there's a narrow way. We're familiar with the scripture, but let me just bring your attention to this to point out that the wide way leads to what? Destruction. The narrow way leads to life. All right, now let me see if I can demonstrate this for you. I don't have a prop to use, and so imagine with me, if you will, that I'm holding in my hands a funnel, a long funnel. You know the kind that you have to get to put oil in the vehicle when the oil spouts way down low and you can't get the can to it. So you get one of those long funnels. This is what I've got in my hands. I've got a funnel. This end is the wide end. This end is the narrow end. Okay? We're together? We know which end is which? Okay. All right. If you begin at the narrow end, traveling this through this funnel, at first it seems real restrictive. At first, it seems real constrictive, constrained, tight, uncomfortable. And as you travel through it, you'll start to notice that the way gets smoother and easier and better and broader until when you get out the other end, it empties out into this new life of freedom. But if you start at the narrow end, when it seems like everything's great and everything's wonderful and everything is, you know, big, no problems, the more you get, the more tighter it gets, the more restricted it gets, the more freedoms are taken away, and you end up being completely constrained. Now, I know it's kind of a silly illustration, but to me it makes sense because there is a way that leads to life. It's a narrow way, but the end result is wonderful. It's life. It's glorious. It's abundant. But there's another way that looks the easy way, but its end is destruction. You know, the narrow way seems like a tight squeeze. It may seem very restrictive, and it is. In fact, the entrance to it is about the size of a man. One man. Jesus said that he was the door. So the door to the narrow way is the size of one man. No one goes to the Father but through me. Okay? But some people decide, well, that path is just too narrow. That path is just too restrictive. I don't want to go down that path because I'm going to have to give up something. I won't be able to enjoy myself. I won't be able to have all this other stuff. There's other paths, and there are many ways. And they'll choose other paths, and they'll choose other ways, and they choose a path that makes a claim like all roads lead to God, or truth can be found anywhere you look. I love this illustration where a guy said that, you know, just like there are lots of roads to get to Dallas, and there's lots of roads to get to heaven. And the answer to that was, problem is, with our eternal life, we're not trying to get to Dallas. We're trying to get to heaven. And Jesus said there's only one road that takes us to heaven. So, Look back at Proverbs chapter 3 where we were. Proverbs 3, these two verses, trust in the Lord, verse 5, with all your heart and do not lean to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. Now, there's an interesting thing that there's a promise and a condition. The promise is He's going to give you straight paths. And that's what we're talking about tonight. These straight paths that wisdom has brought into our life. But there is a condition. There are several conditions, but there's one specifically I want you to look at in verse number 6. It says, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. How do we acknowledge God in all of our ways? How do we acknowledge? What does it mean to acknowledge Him in all of our ways? I want to show you four ways that I think we acknowledge God found right here in chapter 3 of Proverbs that has to do with His direction. Number one, looking back at verse number 1, we're going to see that in order to acknowledge God's ways, we have to learn God's truth. Chapter 3, verse 1, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. It's not enough to carry the Bible around in our hands. That's why I thought about that skit they were doing. We're in a church. We must be Christians. I think we've acknowledged and we understand that it takes more than just having a big Bible to be a good Christian. I used to love a skit we did years and years ago about these two guys that were having a debate on how to witness. They met each other in a park one day. The one of them was from one witnessing school. The other one was from another witnessing school. There's a guy in the middle that wants to get saved, but they're so busy arguing with each other about the right way to witness, they can't even lead that man to Jesus. What is it we have to do? We have to learn God's truth. And as we begin to pour ourselves into His Word, and as His Word begins to open up to us, many of you can bear witness to things that have happened in your life when God's Word became alive. Some of you can point to a day, the first time you remember when you were reading His Word, and it was like, for the first time in your life, the Bible meant something. For the first time in your life, you understood those words, and it was like, wow! That's what God's revelation does. And that's what He calls us to, and He's calling us to that over and over. Because He desires to transform our life, and He does it through His truth. He does it through His Word. So the first thing that we've got to do to acknowledge God is to learn His truth. Now drop down to verse number 7. He says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. What I wanted you to see was He says, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. The thing that we've got to do next is obey God's will. We have got to obey God's will. God cannot direct our path if we refuse to follow His directions. It doesn't do any good to stop and ask directions if you're not going to follow them. That's why most men don't stop and ask directions. I ain't planning on nobody telling me what to do. All right, we're going to leave that one alone. We have to trust Him with all of our heart. We have to obey Him in all of our ways. And as we do that, and that's what 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, that's what this is talking about, this life of obedience. This life that doesn't lean to my understanding. This life that doesn't lean to my having to figure it out. This life that doesn't depend upon my having full comprehension. God's will is revealed to those who are serious about obeying Him. Now, the next one may seem a little odd to you, but as I was reading down through here, I saw another verse that jumps out that tells me a way that we can acknowledge God. In verse number 9 and 10, it says, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. I thought, isn't that interesting? Right here in the middle of this, he says, to make sure, don't forget to give to God what's His. Remember to give to God what's His. And so another way that I say that we acknowledge God in all our ways is by sharing the blessings. Sharing God's blessings. He says, honor the Lord with your wealth. Honor the Lord with the blessings He's given you. Honor the Lord with the first of your produce. And when we do that, that's one way of acknowledging God. You know, that's why it's important that the reason that it's important that we give is because it's a simple way of saying, this didn't come from me. My hand did not make this grow. My wisdom did not gain this for me. And so when we acknowledge, when we share God's blessings, we're saying everything belongs to you, God. We trust you. If we trust Him with our heart, we'll trust Him with our wallet. And that, the New Testament scripture talks about the heart and the wallet not being far apart from each other. I mean, some people's heart's probably not where they think it is. I'm not going there. Okay, and then the last one. This is what I shared with the youth this morning at chapel in verse number 11 and 12. Is that we need to learn, if this is tough, but if we're going to acknowledge God in all of our ways, we need to submit to God's discipline. Verse number 11 says, "My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe His reproof. For whom the Lord loves, He reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights." So if we're going to acknowledge God in all of our ways, we've got to accept His discipline. We've got to accept His correction. I was teaching the young people this morning at chapel that discipline is not fun. Not very many people like to be disciplined or spanked. I gave them a vivid illustration of what I looked like when I was 8 years old getting a spanking. I ain't going to do it. You have to go to chapel. Do I have to show them? Look at Hope. Hope's like, "No, Daddy, don't show them." What I did was I said, "This is what I look like. This is what I looked like when I was 8 years old getting a spanking. Are you ready? This hand is in Dad's hand. And here we go. Ow! 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 I'd put my hand back there and he'd hit it and I'd move my hand. It would hurt. I'd put my hand back there and he'd hit it. Whew! That's no fun. I distinctly remember the time. Both times. I distinctly remember the time Dad told me, "Go to your room, son. You won't get a spanking. You need to think about what you did." I go to my room and I'm not thinking about what I did. I'm thinking about, "I'm going to get a spanking." That's all I'm thinking about. I'm in my room. He's coming in a few minutes. I'm fixing to get a spanking. There's a bunch of underwear in my drawer. I bet I could put several pairs on. It might not hurt so bad. I don't know if he fell out laughing or what, but discipline's not fun. No discipline for the moment is fun. But does it have a fruit? Does it have a result? What does the Bible say it has? It has a fruit that's called the peaceful fruit of righteousness. And so if we're going to acknowledge God in all of our ways, we're going to have to submit to His discipline. And we're going to have to understand that that's how He grows us. Now, discipline is not just punishment. Punishment is involved in some areas of discipline. Sometimes discipline is just doing something over and over and over until we get it right. So sometimes God says, "All right, it's okay, no problem. I know you messed up. I love you. Not a problem. Do it again." And we mess up, and God says, "No problem. It ain't no big deal. I love you. Do it again." And we mess up. God says, "It's okay. Don't worry about it. It's okay. Do it again." Finally, we get it through our thick skulls that if we don't get it right, we're going to go around this mountain so many times that we're going to be digging a trench, a moat, with our feet. "Come on and take another lap around Zion till you've learned your lesson." Okay. Old song. The pain is worth the gain. No matter how much discipline may hurt, it will never harm us. Why? Because God disciplines in love, always. That's what this teaches us, that the Father loves the Son in whom He delights. So, wisdom that brings us to straight paths provides for us direction. And in this direction, for us to continue in God's direction, we have to acknowledge Him. We acknowledge Him by learning His truth, by obeying His will, by sharing His blessings, and by submitting to His discipline. Now, there's something else, and I kind of jumped ahead because I was enjoying reading, and I went ahead and read tomorrow's chapter. Chapter 4. We're not going to read it all, but it's interesting that as much as chapter 3 has a lot of information about direction, chapter 4 has a lot of information about protection. I'd like you to look with me at this area of how wisdom protects, of how wisdom's straight paths provide protection. And chapter 4, verse number 5 says, "Acquire wisdom. Acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you." In Spanish, we have a word for a night watchman called a velador. A velador is the man that you pay to sleep on your property while you're sleeping at your house. No, I'm just kidding. He's not supposed to sleep, but that's what a lot of them do. How do you know? You're asleep at your house. But a velador is somebody that you would pay. We would traditionally, if we had a piece of property, a church building that didn't have good protection, or if we had if we were going to be going away for a while, you might hire somebody to come and stay at your house and velar, to keep watch, to guard, to look over. And here the Scripture tells us that when these straight paths are being accomplished in our life, that wisdom actually becomes a guard or a watcher for us. Chapter 2 of Proverbs, keep your place here in 4, but chapter 2 of Proverbs shows an interesting similarity. I have to drop back to verse number 7 and 8. He says, He, talking about the Lord, stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice. And He preserves the way of His godly ones. I could show you verse after verse after verse after verse after verse where God's protection comes into play. When we find God's wisdom, when we seek God's wisdom, and we have His wisdom setting direct straight paths in our lives, we will have His protection. Now, there's a few things I'd like to show you. Three things in chapter 4 that just kind of jump out to me that demonstrate the role that wisdom that plays in our life when we're walking in these straight paths. The first one is in verse number 12, is that He keeps us from stumbling. In verse number 12 of chapter 4, He says, "When you walk, your steps will not be impeded. And when you run, you will not stumble." Drop down to verse 18 and 19. It says, "But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble." I had an experience not too long ago, actually a little while back, like this. Early one morning, I had gotten up and was walking through the house towards the kitchen, and there was something that I didn't know that wasn't there. I wasn't anticipating it. And in the darkness, because the sun hadn't come up and because I hadn't turned the lights on, I stumbled. And boy, was I startled. And boy, was the cat startled, too, over which I stumbled. Ow! Well, cats make funny noises when you squish them. Especially when they were asleep when you squish them. But you know, this verse, it talks about this in verse number 12. He says that wisdom is going to keep our feet from stumbling. When we run, we will not stumble. When we'll walk, our steps will not be impeded. And verse number 18 really talks about this. It says, it teaches us that the wicked man's path is so dark that he falls down and he stumbles and he doesn't even know what he stumbled over. And I'm not saying I was wicked when I stumbled over the cat. I was just giving you an allegory or an illustration. But the wicked man's path is so dark, he doesn't know what tripped him up. He doesn't know what caused him to stumble. And since the light never comes into his life, because he never gets the light turned on, he keeps tripping over the same unseen snare over and over and over again. You met people or known people like that? They can't get out of that rut, can't get out of that cycle, because the light hasn't shined in, because it's full of darkness, and they keep making the same mistakes over and over. But it says that the way of the righteous is different. It says the path of the righteous. It's kind of like that first light of the daylight. I can remember going out hunting. We'd get out early in the morning. The four times in my life that I did it. No, I'm kidding. I did it a couple more times, maybe six. But we would go out in the woods, and I'd have my shotgun, and it'd be pitch dark, and you couldn't hardly see where you were going. But you'd walk out as far away as you could go from that camp or from everybody else, and you didn't know which way you were going. Then the sun starts to, the sky begins to light, and the sun hasn't come up yet, and the way gets easier, and the way gets brighter. And all of a sudden, the sun's up, and you realize you're 50 feet from camp. You just made a big circle and zigzag through the woods. You know, you've got to be careful. But it makes it way easier to see. And that's what the life of a believer is. When we walk in these straight paths of wisdom, we have augmenting light. We have the amplifying light, and our way becomes more brighter. And when we give ourselves to wisdom, the way gets clearer and brighter every morning. Interesting. Wisdom also has some straight paths that give us another benefit in the same chapter 4, verse number 20. Look at what it says. "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart." What are they going to do? "For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their body." Not only does he keep us from stumbling, but he keeps us from sickness when we follow God's wisdom. It's interesting that God's words of wisdom are life to those who find them and health to their body. Chapter 3, verse number 8 has an interesting, similar verse. Chapter 3, verse number 8, just flip back one page. It says, it will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. I heard some folks talk about my old tired bones. God's wisdom brings healing to our bones. You talk about a cure for osteoporosis. God's wisdom. His straight paths. When He directs us. I think there are some things that physically happen because we haven't followed God's wisdom. There are some things that happen in my life because I haven't followed God's wisdom. And as I begin to follow His wisdom, as I begin to walk in His straight path, that remember, at first seems constrained and restricted. But as I begin to walk into it, I find myself walking into a new area of life, a new area of liberty, new areas of freedom. Okay? So this is what we're talking about. And then lastly, in verse number 23 of chapter 4, I want you to see one more thing that wisdom does for us, that God does for us as we walk in His straight paths. I want to read that from 23 to the end of the chapter. He says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil." As we begin to walk in these straight paths, and as God's light begins to shine brighter and brighter in our life, we find that we're no longer the swerving people that we used to be. He keeps us from swerving. Sometimes our lives can be swerving from one extreme to another extreme, or swerving from one doctrinal extreme to another doctrinal extreme, or swerving from one experience to another experience. But as we walk in His wisdom, as we walk in these straight paths that He has for us, and as His light becomes brighter and brighter, we can look back and we see that our footsteps are straighter. These things come from God's wisdom working in our life. These things come from God's wisdom being poured out in us. He provides us guidance or direction, as we talked about in verse chapter number 3. And He provides us protection, as we talked about in chapter 4. These are such wonderful things that God's Word gives to us. God's words give, and God's Word as a whole gives to us. It's so interesting that through these first few chapters of Proverbs, here's what you hear over and over and over again. Seek wisdom. Seek wisdom. Search her out. If you can find her, buy her. Bring her to yourself. Let go of her. Don't let go of her. Hold on to her. Don't let go of her. Hang on to wisdom. Well, who is wisdom to us? Jesus has become the wisdom of God. And God's wisdom is the very thing that gives direction and protection to our path. Sometimes when we find a truth in God's Word and this wisdom begins to be revealed to us, sometimes it can seem unnerving. It can seem like we don't have many options. It can seem restricted. But I am convinced that as we walk in wisdom's way, these straight paths open up to broad places of freedom in Jesus, broad places of liberty in Jesus. I was reminded of a poem. You may have heard of it. And I'm not one that usually uses poems. But I was thinking about this one because of the final words. I'm going to read to you a poem that probably is been in school, you've heard, or maybe even memorized. This is from Robert Frost, who wrote The Road Not Taken. He says, "Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both. And be one traveler, long I stood, and looked down one as far as I could, to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as for that, the passing there had warned them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay, in leaves no step had trodden back. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubt if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh. Some were ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference." I love that last line. "And that has made all the difference." You know, sometimes every time, the choice to follow God's wisdom, the choice to follow the straight way, it's the narrow way, it's the not traveled way, it's not the heavily populated way, but choosing that way is going to make all the difference. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank You that your way is the way that makes the difference in our life. We thank you that your way of wisdom that you call us to both directs us and protects us. And Father, we ask that as you lead us, as you direct us, Father, and as you protect us, that we would be able to permeate the aroma of Christ, demonstrating your freedom and your liberty and your love through us, that others might be attracted to your way, not to us, but to your way. Thank you for being the door. Thank you for being the way. Thank you for being the truth. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for the straight paths of wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.